Log Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. He's intentional. Man, I thought I got a message from that song listening to it earlier. And I'm going to share the message with you guys. Everything God have did for us has been intentional. God has purpose to do this. When I read scriptures like Ephesians 2:10, God intentional made us like him. He created us to be like intentionally. God did it. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful that know God have intentionally blessed you. Tell what the world say. Matter of fact, I don't care what you say about yourself. God have intentionally allowed mercy and grace to follow you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. God intentionally did that. It wasn't luck. It wasn't something happened. God intentionally did it. Hallelujah. He purposely do that. That's the kind of God that we're serving, who has intentionally did things. Well, Pastor Bill, if she would intentionally get us started for the week with prayer. I wanted to call on Evangelist Renee, but I wasn't for sure if I had told her. And I don't like to tell people to ask people to do things without asking their permission first. I learned that. Better to be asked than to ask down. I learned that. But I know Pastor Bill. She will give a prayer in a heartbeat. So I asked Pastor Bill of Akron, Ohio, she'll get us this week with a word of prayer.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Romans 8 and verse 28. And I'd like to read it from the King James and also the New Living Translation. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called up to his purpose. And the New Living Translation says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we're thanking you, Father God, for all of your many blessings. Father God, we're thanking you for our pastor. We're thanking you for the listeners and those that are listening by internet. We give you thanks for all things, Father God. Thanking you, Lord, for those that participate. Lord, we just ask that you continue to have your way in our life, Father God. And we are so glad that you do things intentional for us, Father God. Lord, continue to have your way with our pastor as he teaches the word, Father God. Use him mightily, Father God. Seeing the blood of Jesus over him, over his life, over his family, Father God. Continue, Lord, to keep us all covered under the blood of Jesus, Father God. Lord, as we prepare ourselves to receive this word, open up our hearts and our minds, Father God, that we can receive it. Be with all those who've asked us to keep them in prayer, those that are sick and shut in, those who are bereaved, Father God, and those who are going through. Lord, we just continue to lift up those who've asked us to keep them lifted in prayer and be with each and every one, because we know you're working things out for their good, Father God. And Lord, we give you praise. Now have your way, Lord, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. For that beautiful prayer. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm excited about the word of God, brothers and sisters. How God is just showing me a lot of positive things about how he operates. You're operating dealing with a God that knows how to rule and super rule. It ain't no thing if God, no, it's already intentional. God did this before the foundation of the world, brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
we need to be playing catch up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to be doing, playing catcher, trying to get on the same page with God.
All right.
That's what
Amen.
We need to be trying to do. God is not behind in time. God knew all this stuff was happening before the internet was the internet. He knew he had to get his word out and how he was going to do it. He knew that. How every eye is going to see it at the same time. God said, all this stuff is pre-ordained. God already knew about it. All we got to do is get in tune with him. And the way you do that is by being in his word day and night, night and day, constantly trusting in him. Believing in him.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, we want to try to cover some things. We were dealing with 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit by the that they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Howbeit, know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already in the world. So we want to kind of still tear some of that apart and I truly understand that verse is talking about, know ye the spirit of God. I mean, if you don't go no further, stop right there and say, okay, hereby know ye the spirit. We need to know what the spirit of God is about.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, you got to know what God's spirit is about. And then you can understand the difference in these spirits. Because he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. See, what kind of spirits are they? Are they of God or not? And it's many spirits here, many of them. So see if they are of God. Now, once you determine if they are God or not, then you can determine if they false are prophets or not, or are they false, because they had already gone into the world, a lot of these spirits. So every spirit that, I mean, when you read this, you think, okay, well, as long as they're not confessing that they don't believe that Jesus Christ, you know, died and resurrected and born of a virgin, as long as they're there, they're false. You would be in error, brother and sister. You would be in error. If you think every spirit that determines that, or talks about Jesus dying, being born of a virgin. Let me put it in the right context. Being born of a virgin or incarnated, hung on a cross, died, was resurrected, went on up into heaven. If you think that's all it means not to be an antichrist, you read this wrong. You might be like, I was kind of like, wait a minute. There's some other false. So then I went back to reread this thing. And then he says this. He says, but try the spirits. That's S-P-I-R-I-T-S. Not the spirits. Spirits. Whether they are of God. Now, check out all of these spirits. I got a list of them. And then I got to determine if these spirits are of God or not. That's the list. Nothing to do with Antichrist. What we're doing right now is going through this list of spirits to see if they are of God. Somebody talk to me. I want you to understand that these are many spirits that we're checking out. It may be 2,000, 200,000, a million. But we got to check them out to see if they are God's spirits. And if you will allow me, put these spirits in a box. Category, if you will. So that's what I'm going to talk about. That right there. And we may do that today, because it's real important that we get back to that. And then in that, I'm going to do some way to test spirit. We didn't finish that one. And then after we did that one, we really need to talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit living in us. Why? Because that was a promise from God.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Man, I got excited when God said, see, I sent my promise. I didn't send it into that temple. I sent it in the upper room. I went, whoa, that made a whole difference, man. God didn't send his spirit to the temple.
All right.
After Jesus was resurrected, and it'd be interesting if you did a study on that to find out what happened. He went to they was in the upper room, and that's where the promise came, in the upper room, in a house, in the upper room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, or even if it was a big building, for sure he stopped doing temple stuff from that day going forward. Now, some people, they still, but it's okay. They're going to come around. They're a little bit behind, but they're coming around to know that we're supposed to be in Christ, man, that God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So we want to cover that. And I guess the thing that I really want to get started with sooner or later, just some things I need to cover, is about trusting in God. I really want to deal with that because everybody don't get it, man. Trusting in God. Whew, that's one of the greatest things we could ever do, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I tell you this, I don't want you all to miss. Let me ask Pastor, she'll read a scripture for me. And you read out of both of them. And I know you're probably going to get a different way of thinking about this. But I want you to read, if you'd be so kind, to read St. John 10. Read 7, verse 7, and verse 9 and 10. But I want you to read verse 7 first, then pause for a moment, and then read verse 9 and 10. A lot of us have heard these scriptures, but you hadn't heard it with revelation knowledge. You haven't heard it in the light of revelation. You just simply heard it to be hearing, but not hearing with an ear to hear. So now you want to hear with an ear to hear. Big difference. Big difference.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, reading from the King James. John 10 and verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Amen. Praise God. And then verses 9 and 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Read from the.
Because I want nobody to miss this. First of all, when you read this scripture, brother and sister, see what I want you to get. Don't you understand? You be so kind. Jesus is saying, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a minute to see this, but he's telling us, trust him.
All right. Amen.
See, when you unpack this scripture, that's what Jesus said. He said, trust me. Then Jesus said unto them again, truly, truly. He like pleading with the people. I say unto you, I'm the door. I'm
mm-hmm.
the door for the sheep. Trust me.
Yeah.
And because the thief come but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but now I'm coming that you may have life and have, so trust me. I hope that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when you try these spirits, you're going to know which ones is which. You can't trust the flesh. You cannot trust the flesh. Stop trying to trust in the flesh stuff. Please. Jesus came intentionally to show the world how God loved us. He did that intentionally. He went to the cross intentionally. Died. He didn't have to die. But he did it intentionally.
Come on, say it.
He did that. God expects us to trust him. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about trusting God this week. Because, see, when you trust God, and I'm not talking about one or two things. Anybody can trust him when you're broke.
All right now.
If you're hungry, you can trust him. I'll go on and pray to him. If he do it, it's fine. I like for him to, but, you know, I'm going to trust him. Anybody can say those words. But to do those words, it's something totally different. Because when you talk about trusting, you're talking about dependency. You're talking about relying on someone, somebody else.
Okay. Come on now.
You know, matter of fact, you're giving somebody charge over you. Actually,
yeah.
You're entrusting. You're giving commission. You're giving someone authority to operate in your behalf. Because trust them. You trust them so that you'll recommend them. You'll say, "Hey, Pastor, you need to trust God." Or if he healed you like he did with Evangelist Renee, you go like, "Hey, here a doctor in the sick room. I'll tell you right now, you can trust God. You can trust his word. You can trust his peace. You can trust him." See, when you're talking about trust, it's responsibility. It's a task. You can't trust every man. You can't trust every woman. With your soul? With your soul? You can't do that.
Amen.
You can't afford to give over. It's like trying to submit yourself. You're going to put your life in the hands of someone else. How dare you? How dare you to do that? You tell that preacher to go to hell or some other big city. Hey, I'm trusting in the Lord because that's what the Word of God say to do. Trust him. I'm not trusting what my optical nerve tells me. I'm not trusting in that mess. You can see one thing, but yet it's another thing. See, everything you see is not what you see. Don't y'all make me preach today. But everything you see is not what you see.
All right.
All shining money ain't new money. And everything shine ain't new money.
All right.
So you want to be careful in what you trust. And that's another reason you want to try the spirit by the spirit. So you can put your trust. So you'll know that it's not counterfeit. How about that one?
See, you
want to have something you can believe in. You can't believe in that. When you trust in, then you can believe in it. You can understand. You can understand. You can accept some things because you're trusting.
Yeah.
Big difference, brothers and sisters. Well, can you? Yeah, I can trust the Word of God. Now, I can give you a lot of reasons Not because it's the number one bestseller in the world and been that way for years and years. Not the fact that every hotel has a Bible in it. That's okay. Not because just about 9 out of 10 homes have some kind of literature in it in reference to the Word of God. And I'll be like that other guy said. He said 8 to 10. I'll go along with that. 8 to 10 homes have some kind of literature in it. Some kind of literature. Some kind of literature. Either it's of the Bible, a Bible, or something referenced to the Bible. 8 out of 10 homes. Mm-hmm. That's some kind of literature reference to the Bible.
Yeah.
Something that they entrusted in.
Mm-hmm.
Something that they confer with. Something that they look forward to putting in a... it's just like your soul. You can't trust your soul. Do you realize what that means? You're talking about safekeeping. When you talk about trusting, you talk about safekeeping.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, you need to be checking your account almost daily. Even though the banks, they guaranteed this, guaranteed that. I learned this the other day. They picking a lot of Zelle accounts and automatically attaching them to people's account without their permission. And then there's another group, knowing that their Zeller's account, they taking their people's life savings right out of them. And there's people hadn't even given permission to their bank to allow Zeller to take their money. So that's something you have to go and fight for because it's your money.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you trust that bank because you're thinking, okay, they possessing all of my stuff. It's in safekeeping. Because that's what trust is.
Right. Amen.
Because it ain't like you went and going to give your money. You're going to drop $50,000 or $100,000 in somebody's hand you don't even know. Can you imagine that somebody come up to you and say, hey, give me your life savings, and you put it in their hand? That don't happen. Unless they do some kind of conning.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's why you have to try the spirit. Well, let me see who you are. Let me see what you got going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if you're insured. Let me see if you're the bank. Because, see, that's what that would be like, going up to a bank and you don't know that bank just started up and you don't know the holders. You don't know all that stuff. I'm not getting into all that. I'm really talking about trust. I'm talking about entrust. You giving somebody the consent to your soul. So, this week, we want to talk about things we ought to be trusting in. Like, with your righteousness. You can't trust it. It's your righteousness.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, you know what the preacher said? No. What does the word, get out of that habit too, right now. Stop it. Get out of that habit. Get in the habit that, you know what, I'm going to see what the word of God says. So when I'm talking to pastor or to this person, that person, I'll tell them what the scriptures say. But they're going to dispute that. I dare them to dispute that. Now you tell them what your pastor say or what your bishop say or what your apostle say. Well, it sounds good. Not that they're not men and women of God. I'm not saying that. But I feel a little bit more confident to know that you have entrusted. You have commissioned your righteousness. In other words, you gave God that authority to sign for you. You gave God the authority say you are righteous.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what you get when you say, read, quote, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be sin so I can be the righteous. I gave God that. I didn't sign my name on a dotted line with a preacher and say, you know, I'm going to join your church. Therefore, I'm going to wave a banner saying, hey, I'm saved. I'm saved. No, my salvation is entrusted with God.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We're going to run over a little bit, but I think about what Paul said. Well, we're going to go backwards and then we'll go back forward. We may not get to that part till tomorrow. But in Philippians, I'm going to ask Pastor to read it. In Philippians 2 and 24. Well, matter of fact, Pastor, start with the 19th verse and read down through to the 25th verse.
Okay, 19. And that was Philippians, the chapter again, Pastor.
All right, chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Chapter 2.
No.
I think that's what it is. Chapter 2.
19 to 20.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 19 to 24, okay. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Amen.
You read the 25th verse?
Oh, and the 25th verse? Okay. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your message and he that ministered to my want. Amen.
Okay. So what Paul is saying is that he trusts, but I trust in the Lord, that I also myself shall come shortly. Even though he had sent Epaphroditus to minister.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand what the situation is. The situation is that he had been sick, and he longed to go there. And so Paul is explaining to them how God had healed this man, and Epaphroditus, how God had sinned, had healed him, and he was sending him to him. And he says, okay. I'm going to come too. You know what? Because I'm trusting God too.
Yeah. Amen.
You got to trust God for everything, for the healing. And then when you really read this scripture, and I understand we may not get into it today, may wait till tomorrow to get into this because there's so much to unpack. He was trying to give those people some kind of consolation that was mm-hmm. in Christ and hoping that the love of God that would just pass all understanding, that they would have this fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that his joy may be fulfilled and like, those that are like-minded will see the same thing and that he was explaining to them, don't let anything be done in vainglory. And I, he says, no, and don't be looking at every man as his own thing, you know. He says, matter of fact, I want you to have the mind of Christ, who was in the form of God. He didn't think it would be robbery to be equal with God. He said he made no reputation and didn't take up on all this to be. He said, and he's trying to explain to these people, or not trying, he explained to these people how God have highly exalted him and given him, a, talking about Christ, and given him a name above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So he's trying to explain to these people that that same Jesus, the Lord of glory, that every tongue shall confess that he is Christ. He's explained to them the situation, how it is to be absent from the body. He's explaining all this stuff to them. Then he get to this place where he people to understand that that they're to continue to trust in God like he's doing, because he trusts God for the healing, he trusts God for the deliverance. After he was sick, he still trusts God. Now I didn't say this. This is what the Word of God say. The man was sick. I didn't say he was sick. God. The Word of God said he was sick. But Paul reminded people that the sickness that he had was not unto death, or if it were not unto death, God had mercy on him.
All right.
He said, but not only on him, but on me too. So I trust him. I trust him. I trust God. And that's what this trust is going to be about, that we're going to talk about. Trusting God with everything. When it comes to love, what kind of, what you trusting God with? How you know the kind of love you ought to have? Are you using God kind of love? Important.
All right.
When it comes to faith, are you using God kind of faith?
All right.
When it comes to preaching, are you going to trust God with the kind of preaching he wants you to preach? Or the teaching, are you going to trust him with the kind of teaching he wants you to teach with?
Yeah.
Because see,
yeah,
some of these people, they've gotten the Word of God, and because they operate in an office, that office they have transferred to become a person, rather than realizing they're using their office to edify the body of Christ. There's people that take office and it says, now it's their gift and it's their gift and they do what they want to do. You have to try these spirits, man, to see if they be of God or not.
Yeah, yeah,
you really do.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when I search the web and browse and so forth, so I'm not looking for anything in particular, but whatever the spirit should be, I'll receive it. Just to see that person right there, they think they own the office. So they mad at somebody else because they think they're using their gift. They're covering their gift. That's Christ. It ain't your gift.
Come on now.
You're operating in it. You're not just Christ Church. It ain't your church. Christ Church.
All right.
You can brag all day long. My church this, my church that. I talked to somebody the other day. The only thing they could see was their church, how beautiful it is. And I had just memorized these people, man, because they're going, oh, the glory, the beauty, and they're looking at a building. You can't trust the flesh. I can far less care about that stinking building.
And
they was angry with me. I didn't know they walk around here angry with me because I told them I couldn't stand a stinking building. Yeah. And let me remind you, it had padded pews, hanging chandeliers. Boy, I mean, you thought you was in Hollywood, or one of them big-time hotels in New York. I mean, yeah, but why should I get excited about that mess? Are you serious? Put on trust in that. I'm going to come back because I know this is God. No, that's money. I don't know how you got it. Chicken dinner, barbecue, whatever. However you got it, it doesn't matter. It was an idiot. That's why Christ says, now, I'm the door. You got to trust me. I'm the door to the sheep. If you want to get up in here, come to me.
Yeah.
And that's what this lesson is going to be about this week. Well, now, brothers and sisters, we're at that point where anybody want to have anything to say, press 1. Anything you want to share, press 1. And we'll let you in. Anything you want to share.
All right. Well, I'm going to read from the Message Bible, John 10. Verses 7 and then 9 and 10. And it's from the Message Bible. It says, I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. And then the 9th verse says, I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Amen.
Amen. So now it's how you see that.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you see that as, Jesus. Now, you got to try the spirit, man, to see what you're talking about here. He's talking about there's a lot of ways you think you can get to God, but you can't. There's only one way, and that true way is through Christ, not through a group. Not through a church, not through, because you are the church. Because you're the spirit. And if these spirits are not saying you're the church, they're in error. If they're telling you there's more than one church, they're in error. Only one church. And don't let them put that, but you know what I mean. No, that don't fly with me. Oh, but you know what I mean. No, I don't. I know what you said. Yeah, I know it's only one church, but you got to have a local church. See, that's kind of old little weak stuff they throw on you. Jesus didn't say that. He said that, but you got to have no local church. Where's that at? Well, preacher, you know, it's something. The Bible can't say. Well, if it ain't in there, I don't need it. I'm sorry, Pastor. If they didn't put it in that mixture that you made the cake, I don't need it. Whatever it needed should be in there. Now, if I got sense enough to put everything in there, baking powder, soda, flavor, egg, if I got sense enough to put everything in there, what am I going to think God? Why would I think that? Right? Why? Oh, God didn't put it in there. If it didn't, if it's not in there, because it don't need to be in there.
All right.
You know why I put nutmeg in my cake? Because it didn't need to be in there, Pastor.
All right. Yeah.
That's sense enough to put all spice in there if I wanted it in there. I didn't want it in there. It didn't need to be in there. I mean, that's simplicity to me. That's just simple. Why should I get all hyped up because other people are ignorant? They need to be in there. Well, God didn't, you know, the local church. No, I'm not going for that. There's one church. And if everybody holds to that truth, you wouldn't have all these different divisions. You wouldn't have all these different denominations. But everybody have their church. And there's only one church, and so I'm part of that church. I ain't part of the others. Don't ask me to be part of it. I'm not part of it. I'm not going to be part of it.
All
my trust is in God. So let the record show. Let the record bear that I'm in Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for...